How many of you are Star Trek or Star Trekkies? I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm not, never was. I know some of you probably wouldn't have missed an episode of Star Trek for anything, and that's fine. That's good. It's just not me. But one of the things that did stand out in all those and everything that was said, the thing that probably stood out to me most is to boldly go where no man has ever gone before. And I think about that, and I realize how much courage it must take to go where you've never been or to be what you've never been, to make those kind of changes, going into the unknown, going into the future, not knowing where or what is going to happen. And so today what I want to do is I want to kind of look at a woman's life in Scripture. In Joshua, the second chapter is where we're going to be, but I want to look at a woman's life, and I want to see the changes that she made in her life that made all the difference in the world for her and even for us. But that's what we want to do, is take a look at her life. Now, if you remember last week, we left the Israelites on the bank of the Jordan River. They were standing, looking over the Jordan River, looking into the Promised Land, getting ready to go into the Promised Land. And now they're getting ready to, and they're doing the final preparations to make that move across. Joshua sends a couple of spies over into the Promised Land to check it out. It's kind of different from when he was one of those spies that went in. There were 12 that went in then. Now we've just got two that go into the Promised Land to check out that Promised Land and all that's going to take to take that over. Now, the first city that they're going to have to take is right across the river, and that city is the city of Jericho. And y'all have probably heard of Jericho. If you were raised in the church, or maybe when you were little you went to church, maybe you quit going, you're back now, but if you were raised in the church, probably in Sunday school or junior church or VBS, you probably sang a song that had to do with Jericho. Let's look about 35-second a clip of that song to remind you of those words. I'd sing it for you, but you wouldn't recognize it. So. Remember that song? How many of you sang it when you were kids? How many of you sang it within the last week? Most of you, because it was playing, you were singing it, right? At least in your head. So, archaeologists tell us a little bit about that city of Jericho. They found some really interesting things, or what I thought was very interesting about Jericho. First thing is this. The whole city only took about 8 acres. So half of the property that we have here at the church was the size of the whole city of Jericho. It was not a big city. It was about like Moonsville. You know, you got just a small, small community. Now, there were several people in that community, but there was only about 8 acres. Another interesting thing is not only did they have a wall around the city, they had two walls around the city. They had an inner wall and an outer wall, and the inner wall was 12 feet wide and 30 feet high. And the outer wall was 6 feet wide and 30 feet high. They actually built houses into the walls of the city. So this city was very well protected. 30 feet high walls. That's about what the peak of this church is, I think, when you go outside. Not here, but outside. Is that right, Jerry? I think 37 feet, something like that. So it's about as tall as this church is, you know, around the city. So it wasn't a big city, but it was very well protected. The archaeologist said the walls, and I quote this, the walls were violently destroyed. We all know why, don't we? We know that God marched those people around that city. They didn't touch the walls. God just tore them down. Now, another thing that I think that's interesting about this is that we don't know the name of any person that lived in Jericho except for one person. Anybody have an idea what her name was? Rahab. She's the only person that we know in all of Jericho today. So turn with me to Joshua, the second chapter. We're going to look at Rahab, and we're going to look at the changes that Rahab made in her life that were so dramatic. And not only was it dramatic and helpful for her and the kingdom, it was helpful for you today and God's kingdom. So let's take a look. Remember, before we do that, remember that we're in a sermon series that we'll finish next week. Mike will be finishing that series out. We're going to finish the series, but it's called Facing the Future. And what we've done, or we'll do, is we're going through the first three chapters of the book of Joshua, and we're just trying to look at facing the future. And as we face the future, as we go through change, how do we do that with confidence? How do we do that without fear? First week that we started this series, we looked at what God is up to. And what we found was that God is a God that's on the move. And when God is a God that's on the move, then what we see is that we are going to be, if we're going to be with God, we're going to go through change. And so as we go through change, there were three things that we looked at that would help us do that and do it with confidence. One is anticipate change. And the second thing was prepare for change. And the third thing was to embrace change. Now, last week, what we looked at was face change with courage. When we face change in our lives, in our own personal life, in the corporate church life, when we face those changes, how can we do it, and how can we do it with courage? Well, the first thing we are reminded of is that God has plans for your future. And Lance did an excellent job in his meditation telling us that God has plans in our lives. And so we need to recognize that and remember that God has plans for our future. Second thing is that God will walk with us in the midst of those changes, that we aren't in those changes by ourselves, but that God is with us. And then the third thing is to be successful in the midst of those changes, that we have to do it God's way. If we want to do it our way and we try to do it our way, it's not going to work. But if we do it God's way, it will. Now, today, I want to take a look again at Rahab's life. And I want us to look at it, and as we look at it, and as we go through these series of steps that go on in her life, I want us to notice the change that she makes. She actually moves from being a very paganistic person into a child of God. How does that happen? How does that happen that she moves from paganism to being a godly person? So we want to take a look at that. So the first thing that we notice is this, that she was lost. But so were we. Now, if you know anything at all about Rahab, what you would know was that she was very pagan. She lived in a paganistic community, and she had a very paganistic job. Listen to verse 1 in Joshua 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. I've kind of figured it out, after 60 plus years of life, is that if you are a godly person, prostitution is probably not your vocation. Okay, that's pretty easy to figure out, right? That's not the kind of thing that God would want us to be or do in a life, but that's what Rahab was. She was a prostitute. She was a pagan in a paganistic community doing the things that God would not want anybody to do. She was lost. She was absolutely lost. Now, the interesting thing that I find as I read that is that the spies go to the prostitute's house, and that's where they stay. And we think, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If the spies are God's people, if the spies are holy people, why would they go to a prostitute's place? Good question. Especially with us being who we are in our culture today. But back then, most of the inns, we would call them hotels, motels today, most of the inns were run by and owned by prostitutes. That's what they did for a living. They had an inn, and people would come in, and they would stay there. And the irony of the thing is there was no internet then, And there was no TV then. So for entertainment, guess what? You know, the innkeeper was the entertainment. But they go and they stay at the only hotel that they know is available in this 8-acre community of Jericho. And the owner of that is a prostitute named Rahab. And so we look at that and we go, yep, she was a lost person. She needed God in her life. She couldn't have been any more lost than anybody could ever be. And as we look at that and agree with the fact that she is a lost person, I want us to look at Romans 3:23 for a minute. It says this, for all have sinned. Now that three-letter word, all, guess what? It includes you. It includes me. We have all sinned. And the irony of this whole thing is that sin is sin is sin in God's eyes. And whether it's being a prostitute or anything else, when we sin, we break our relationship with God. So all of us have been lost in our lives. Now, I don't know where you are. Most of you, I know where you are today. But at some point in your life, you have been lost, just like Rahab. There's a second thing. She was condemned. So were we. God makes it pretty clear. God tells the Israelites, when you go into the promised land, I want you to kill off everybody that's there. Destroy them. Listen to Deuteronomy 7:16. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. Why would God want all these people killed off? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One of the reasons that God wants them killed off is because of the fact that they have chosen to worship pagan gods rather than to worship God himself, Jehovah. And so they have made a choice. I choose to live my life worshiping the gods I want to worship rather than to worship God Jehovah. It's kind of a prelude to what hell's about. It's kind of like that. So he tells them, I want you to wipe out all of those people. For one reason, they will not worship me. Second reason, if you let them live in your community, then they're going to turn your backs on me as well, and you'll quit worshiping me. So he says, I want you to go in, and I want you to wipe them out. They're condemned, absolutely condemned. No question about it. They may not understand that they're condemned, but they're condemned. Now, if you aren't living your life for Jesus Christ, if you are not walking with Christ, if you are not living and worshiping, living for Christ and living for God and worshiping God, guess what? You're condemned. You're just exactly the way that she was before she gave her life to God. In fact, I read a while ago, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's the result of that? Listen to Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Excuse me? Death. Not just physical death. Eternal death. Death of hell. And guess what? We are condemned to hell if we are not living our life for Jesus Christ. We are condemned to hell if we are not worshiping God, Yahweh. That's the way it is. Third thing, she was given grace, and so were we. Look at Deuteronomy 7:1-2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, the other nation, and the Perizzites, all of them, and Jebusites, a lot of ites. I better leave that alone. Seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them. Totally. That's the condemnation statement. Listen to Genesis 15:16. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. He's talking to Abraham. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Let me tell you something. For over 400 years, God gave them the opportunity to turn their backs on their own gods and be a follower of God Jehovah. For over 400 years, he said, listen, follow me, you won't die. You can be my children. You can live. He gives them over 400 years to do that. Now, that's grace. That's grace that he would do that. I don't know how many times I've heard and you have heard, why doesn't God just come and get all this over with? It's because of his grace. You know anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you know that if God comes back today, if Christ comes back today, they're going to go to hell? That's why he hasn't come back yet. It's for the grace of those people who still haven't turned their lives over to him. I'm glad that God is a God of grace. If he wasn't a God of grace, I would be lost. You would be lost. We all would be. But that's not the only grace that God shows to Rahab. All this time was the opportunity for her to change. And guess what? She does. She leaves the gods of Jericho and she starts following God Yahweh. Listen to verse 2 through 6. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. She knew that the gods of Jericho could not deliver. She knew that the only way that she was going to have any chance of salvation whatsoever, any chance of not dying, was that she was going to have to align herself with God Jehovah. And she did that. She made that choice. Let's look at the next thing. She heard the word. She heard the word, and so have we. Verses 9 and 10. And said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Jericho knew what God was doing. Jericho knew that God had split the Red Sea. Jericho knew that he had protected the people as they came through the wilderness and the desert. They had heard the word about God Jehovah. Now, I think it's interesting that if you look back, what was it that Rahab calls God? Lord. She says, Lord. She knew that God was the God that could deliver, and she sees him as Lord. You've heard the word. You can't be in, well, I should say that in most churches today, if you sit in a pew or you sit in a chair and you hear somebody preach, you hear the word about Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Just because you hear it, what do you do with it? There's some action that has to take place. Rahab heard the word, and she recognized God for who he is, and she was willing to give her life to align herself with the children of God. Here's the third thing. She believed the word, and so must we. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I don't know whether you all know this or not, but I made a phone call early this morning. And setting out in the parking lot is a Brinks armor truck. And for anybody that wants to go out there, they're going to give you $100,000. Okay? Now, you heard the word, but you didn't believe it. You know why you didn't believe it? You know why I know you didn't believe it? Not one of you got up to go out to the parking lot. Did you? You heard the word, but you didn't believe it. Well, she heard it, and she believed it. She believed that God was a God of power. She believed that God was a God that would deliver. She believed in those things. And the fact is that you have heard the word of the gospel. The question is, have you believed it? There's no one in this room today that hasn't heard the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. There's nobody in this room that doesn't realize that God demands life for sin. And by life, blood. Blood is the life. And so God demands blood in order to cover sin that you have. But God loved you so much that He came to earth and He gave His blood so that you can be saved. But not only did He go to the cross, and not only did He give His blood that you might be saved, that your sins might be forgiven, but He was resurrected from the dead so that there might be life after death. So you can live eternally in heaven. Now, if you've not heard it before, you've heard it now. So you have heard the word. The question is, do you believe it? What do you do with the word once you've heard it? Do you believe it? Do you live it? Sixth thing is that she obeyed the word. Look at James 2, 25 and 26. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I want to tell you something. Rahab was not saved from death, condemnation, because she hid the spies. Rahab was saved from condemnation because of her faith in a God who delivers. And what happened was that she put, because of the Holy Spirit speaking to her, she put that belief into action. She obeyed what God said, hide these people from me. Hide these people from me. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, listen. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that one may boast. The fact is, Rahab was not saved because of the works that she did. She did the works because she was saved. Because she had put her faith in God. And so she did what God called her to do. God says, I have a physical action that I want you to take to show your faith. Guess what? He says the same thing to you and I today. Acts 2, 37, 38. They've preached the gospel. They've talked about how God or Christ has died on the cross for these people. They hear the message, the gospel, and listen to what they say. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is a physical act that God says, I want you to do this to show your faith. And that's it right there. Here's the seventh thing. She was saved. And so shall we be. If you look forward to Joshua, the sixth chapter, 22 through 25, this is what it says. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house, bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother, her brothers and her sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside of the camp of Israel. They burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. You see, Rahab was a pagan. Rahab was a prostitute. And Rahab moves from being a prostitute, a pagan, someone lost, to being a child of God. Listen to Hebrews 11, 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. After the army had marched around them for 7 days, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Listen to me. When you choose God, when you choose Christ, you choose salvation. But you've got to do that. You've got to choose. That's how you are saved, is through Christ. No name more sweet than the name of Jesus Christ. We sang about that this morning. No name can, in fact, listen to what Acts 4:12 says. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through Him. Rahab was a sinner. Rahab lived in a paganistic community. Rahab chose to turn her back on the gods of Jericho and to follow God Jehovah, and she became a part of the family. Now, here's something else you might not be aware of. Maybe you are. But not only was she saved, but she was used to bless everyone in the Christian community. Listen to Matthew 1:5. Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. You know what that's about? That's the ancestry of Jesus Christ. Rahab became a great, 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 however many times, grandmother of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He takes a pagan who lived in a completely pagan community, who followed completely pagan gods, and she turns her back on that, and she changes. She makes that change to follow God and becomes a child of God and a blessing to everyone. So here's what I would challenge you with. Listen to the words of a prostitute. God delivers, and God is powerful. Follow Him, and you will be His child. Let's stand.